positive thoughts. Is it Tinkerbell think happy thoughts? Now, it's good. To people like me who tend to see the glass half empty, it's good to practice gratitude and see how God is at work. But he said to seek the kingdom of God, seek it first. This idea of seek, it's not that different from worry. To seek is to try to obtain something from someone, to run after, to set your heart on, to keep thinking about. But Jesus is saying here, what are you thinking about? Are you bringing it to me and talking with me about it? Or are you wallowing and swirling around in your own fear and anxiety? The focus is on the subject. Who are you seeking after? What are you setting your heart on? What do you keep thinking about? I was talking with our brilliant resident theologian, Wes, this week, and he wisely pointed out, he said, you know, for us worriers, he didn't call himself a worrier. I'm a total worrier. So I'm just going to say for worriers like me, the questions we often ask is, well, what if? What if we run out of toilet paper again? What if I lose my job? What if I don't recover from this illness? Or what if, fill in the blank. And then we get caught in this endless cycle of possibilities that they're the negative what ifs, they're the negative outcomes, and we end up being anxious and restless. That's why I'm slow. I'm slowly seeing how my heart rate goes up when I start to look at the news. And I want to be informed. And I talk about this a lot. I'm still trying to figure out what is a healthy relationship to the news. I'm not sure. Still wrestling with that. But I can see how my anxiety just creeps up when I read the news. Jesus calls us to seek him first, his kingdom and his righteousness. Why? Because if we put anything else first, we get things out of whack. We get things out of order. It doesn't work properly. It keeps us in this survival mode. But he says, no, keep coming back to me. Seek first. For those of you grammarphiles, it's a present active imperative. Seek. Which means imperative is a command. Present, currently, active, ongoing. It's a current, ongoing command to continually seek first the kingdom of God. We keep coming back to him moment by moment. He not only meets our needs, he meets us in our needs. Let me say that again. When we keep coming back to him and seeking his kingdom first, he not only meets our needs, he meets us in our needs. And he shows that not only is he what we need, but he's more than enough for what we need. Yesterday, we had a lot going on, or last night, in our family, and I went by myself to a friend's birthday party who, it was just a few of us, excuse me. And I sat next to two men, one I knew, one I didn't, and just grew to love them both dearly. They're older, and they have something in common. They are both widowers. They are in their 60s and 70s, and their wives passed away within 2 months of each other. They didn't know each other when their wives passed away, but they've gotten to know each other since then. And this friendship, it was just really fun to see them interact together. This friendship has become a beautiful place of meaning and hope. It's a place where they share their grief. And as I was listening to their stories, it was obvious that they're still grieving and will probably grieve for the rest of their life, right? The one that they loved is no longer present in this world. They're probably always going to grieve the loss of their spouse. But what God was growing in that place of loss was this friendship. This place of shared understanding. This place of deep gratitude for even how God brought them together as friends. And at times in our conversation, there was joy. There was laughter. God brought them together in an abundance of need. Both of them have had and have abundance of need, and God brought them together in an unlikely way. And they were clearly grateful and were just a lot of fun. And love beer, too. I'm not a beer fan, but it was fun to be there with them. It was a picture, believe it or not, this birthday party for 70-year-old was this picture of abundance. It is people who have seen God's enoughness, God's more than enoughness, meet them in their emptiness, meet them in the middle of their devastating loss. One of the men said, "Jill, God's promises are not small, but they are audacious." I'm like, huh. God's promises are not small, right? Don't worry. I know what you need. All these things will be added to you. Jesus said that. That seems kind of audacious to me, right? God's promises are not small, but they are audacious. And these two men, I felt like I was sitting at the feet of mentors. And these two men experienced a different answer to the question of what if. It wasn't, what if I'm never going to stop grieving? It wasn't, what if my life is never the same, or how am I going to go on? Their question of what if is, what if God's promises are true? And these men would say, they are. They have answered the question, what if? What if my wife passes away? What will happen? And these men can say, broke my heart, didn't think I was going to go on, and God met me there, and he is faithful. And he is filling up this emptiness continually with more than enough. He is faithful in the middle of our heartache, in the middle of our trouble. They've seen God's answer firsthand to their question of what if. They've seen God keep his promises. He promises to be more than enough when we look around and all we see is not enough. He promises his peace in times of turmoil. He promises hope in times of despair. He promises comfort in times of loss. He promises his presence in times of loneliness and isolation. These men can say all those things, that God has provided peace, he has provided hope, he has provided comfort in the middle of loss. But they would also say, and this is the hard part, that it's a moment by moment, day by day, coming back to God's heart. Because if they're not careful, they can get sucked back in to what's not right, into the bad what ifs, and they go on these downward spirals. They keep coming back. They keep seeking first, moment by moment, day by day, God's kingdom. And they're finding surprising ways to work in God's kingdom. One of them is writing a book. Pretty cool. Jesus tells us here, and this is what we're going to be unpacking over the next few weeks. We're in this sermon, the sermon series of More Than Enough. What does that mean? What does that look like? I was talking to my child who went to camp a couple weeks ago, and she had this observation that I absolutely loved. She said, you know, I'm learning that there's a difference between believing Jesus in my head and following him in my heart. And I'm like, can your counselor come here and speak at Celebration? Because we all need that. My daughter said that. And I'm like, that's what this, when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, it's that, right? We can believe, we can memorize the entire word of God, all of scripture, but if it doesn't make the difference, doesn't make the distance, the travel from our head to our heart, it does us no good. He says, follow me, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, how he does things, his way of being, living in a just and holy world. Joining him in bringing justice and hope to the world, right? Seek first his kingdom. And then he says, and all these things will be added to you. Does that mean that we're going to get our dream home and that dream car and everything we ever wanted? No, Jesus is not Santa. But he knows what you need. He knows what you need. And he says, these things will be added to you. Not only will I meet those needs, but I'm going to meet you in them, and it will be more than enough. Sometimes when God meets us in our need and it's more than enough, sometimes it gets to spill out and we get to bless other people. And this morning we're going to hear from some people in some blue shirts, our bike shed team. And I have only been to bike shed a couple times. I haven't been there much, but when I've been there, it's this beautiful picture of God's extravagance in this little corner of Denver. It's a beautiful picture of God filling up people who then spill over to others, not only with their gifts and their abilities, but their passions and their interests. Super, super cool. So for those of you who don't know, for a number of years, we have had a bike shed. It's right over here on the north end, just south of the parking lot. And people use their love for bikes. Did you know that God can take your interests and your hobbies and your passions and do something beautiful with them? Some of these folks, John Carlberg, for example, totally geek out on bikes. And God uses that to bless others. Many of you have come to get your bikes looked at or to get advice or counsel or support. Some of you have come and you've gotten your bike repaired. Some of you have come and you've needed a bike and you've gotten a free bike. And so have many, 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 many neighbors in the neighborhood. It's this idea of God meeting us and our needs and providing more than enough. It's a really beautiful picture of abundance. So I'd like to invite our bike shed people. If you're coming up, come on up. If you're not coming up, you can stand. So just come on up now, up to the front. Yeah, can we give it up? Don't they look nice in their blue shirts? All right, so we're going to do this rather quickly. I believe you're all going to introduce yourself. John had said he was going to stay seated. Come on up, John. You can't be the only blue shirt in the audience. So can you just briefly say your name and why you started volunteering with the bike shed?
Hi, I'm Beth Killebrew. And before we had a shed, we had a patio. And I just like to come watch the guys because I thought it was a cool outreach. And I noticed Caleb trying to be in many places at once. And I thought I could probably cover one of those bases. So I joined the bike shed team as the greeter. So that's what I do.
Nice. All right. But you can move down a little bit. There's more room down here.
Hi, I'm Dietrich. This was my first year at the bike shed. And I think I wanted to get into it because I was already, you know, going to like Goodwills and donating used bikes that I kind of fixed up to the bike shed. And so I just decided to join this year, and it was a lot of fun giving back to the community.
Hello, I'm John. I think I started the second year that they were doing it. And I remember the first year they were doing it, I thought, wow, I wonder if I can hang with these guys.
Nice.
And, I think I'm doing okay. Yeah, I just really like bikes, and you know, it's really a lot of fun.
Hi, I'm Grant. I like to ride a bike, and I've spent I've spent an awful lot of time wrenching on a bike, not successfully. There's like many, many hours of my life spent screwing it up. And I finally like have some basic skills, and I was like, "Oh wow, I can help," because I invested all that time.
Love it.
I'm Caleb. I just like bikes and riding, and wanted to help people.
I'm Chad. I got asked if I wanted to volunteer, and honestly, I couldn't think of a good reason to say no.
We value honesty, don't we? Love it. Love it.
I'm Dan. My wife and I came back to Celebration about a year and a half ago, and I was just looking for a way to plug in. And I love doing things rather than talking about things. So that's something I can do and not have to talk. And I love working with my hands. And it's just, I saw those guys out there working. I thought, I can do that.
Hi, I'm Joe. And I'm standing between the A-team, John, Dan. We have an A-team, we have a B-team, and then we have me. So if you come to the bike shed, you'll see me with a rag and a squirt bottle of cleanser.
Nice. But
what's amazing is we have complete experts and then we have complete rookies. And yet we still make it happen. And really a big shout out to Caleb, who started this whole thing seven years ago. Yeah, you were about 22, I think, when we started. And John's really, this John, is it's amazing what he can do with a bike. It's amazing.
I'm John. Just grew up working on bikes, riding bikes, and it's just a fun way for me to give back to the community. So it's a good time.
Love it. How many of you have been to the bike shed, had your bike looked at, repaired, got a new bike? Look at that, guys.
Donated bike.
How many of you donated bike? Yes. So cool. Okay, so one or two of you, because if we had all morning, meaning hours and hours, we could hear from all of you. But is there a story that comes to mind for one or two of you where you felt like you were participating with God in something that he was doing? Like he was moving somehow, the Spirit was moving. God works at bike sheds, right? And so is there a story that, a brief story that comes to mind?
One night we were packing up at the end of the bike shed night and John Carlberg was orchestrating Where Everything Goes. And he kind of grumbled, we've got to do something with all these kids' bikes. And about an hour later, I was home and I was scrolling through Nextdoor and there was a post, an urgent post from a local nonprofit that does a bike camp for underprivileged kids, and their trailer full of bikes had gotten stolen. And they were scheduled to start their camp the next week, but they didn't have bikes. And they said, we need bikes for kids, but they've got to be ready to use. So I took a screenshot of it and sent it to Beth and John. And 3 days later, John passed 9 bikes on to that outreach. And so cool. It was, and we got our shed cleared out.
So cool. Yeah. Is there another one? Maybe one more? Is this coercion? I'm not sure. He's the doer.
I don't talk. But the thing I was thinking about was tools. Mostly, I have got this old rusty box of tools that I use. I've used them for like 30 years. And then I was thinking about all the other people, have nice sets of tools that I can borrow. And it's like all of us together, we've got an awesome set of tools. Hmm. So that was kind of what was in my head. The other thing, it's not really a story, but it's just a generalization, is the smiles on everyone's face. The kids that got a new bike, the people that had their bike fixed. That was just, we were the tools, all of us.
Yeah.
But God was putting smiles on these kids' faces and people's faces.
Nice. So good. Well, you sort of addressed the last question, Dan, beautifully so. But if there's another story that comes to mind, I'd love to hear it. But just lastly, too, what have you learned about yourself and about our Lord and how he uses what you have to offer, right, when you're serving him at the bike shop? How's that for you? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if it's going to come out right, but okay. I'm not very good about sharing my faith, and I'm like an evangelism dropout failure. So, I just feel like I'm always wrestling with God. So my experience with God through the bike shed is that how gracious he is. Because I go there thinking that I'm going to give, but I'm just receiving. And I just go away filled. And it was really kind of like listening to your sermon, Jill, was so appropriate. I don't know whether it was with John or Joe or this word above our pay grade came up sometimes. And I think, someone could come in with something that I couldn't even fix, and I'm still getting paid way above my pay grade. So, it's kind of like, well, I don't see Brad here, but, Brad is he's a man of numbers and math. And I think, he would probably agree that, we all fail it when it comes to God's calculus, It's just like, it's hard to understand. So I just come away like, amazed at how good God is.
So good.
It's not, you know, like, it's like, I don't even, there's nothing I could do to help these people, but God is helping me. So I just trust that he's helping them as well.
Love it. So good. How about one more? Is there one more person who wants to share?
I'll stand next to Caleb because I looked at the names, and if you look at, I just saw it, there's our names, and then there's kids' names who have been coming. And there's a young man named Suhail, is that right? And he came the first year, and he came back the other night. He still keeps coming back. So it's been 6, 7 years. Suhail and Leif, you can see that name. He's a six-year-old kid. So last week we were praying. We said, Leif, you want to pray with us? He goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, I'm Muslim, but I think I really like Jesus too.
Wow.
And this kid is one of the more articulate first or second graders. Yeah, he just talks and talks. And 2 weeks ago he said, so what else can I do? And if you see this kid, he kind of has this big head of hair and he's just hilarious, but he just joined us. We hold hands and we pray. And he was right there with us.
So good. So good. Well, thanks you guys. Thank you. Can we give it up for our Bike Shed team? You guys can go sit down. Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for using the tools God has given you, even if you feel like they're small and insignificant. Wow. Seeing these kids at Bike Shed, seeing neighbors come onto the property of a church. That's late. Having these men and women pour into these kids and teach them how hands-on teaching. It's just beautiful. It's kingdom stuff. This is kingdom stuff, and it's abundant, right? That God continues to give, to provide bikes, whether it's through you or other people, so that we can then give those bikes away. It's just a beautiful picture of the kingdom. We're going to move to communion here, which seems like a fitting culmination of any worship. I was talking to my friend last night, his birthday, and he was saying, isn't God good? God left the highest of places, the most beautiful home. He left heaven. And he came down and he descended so low. He got lower than anybody ever will. And he set a base. Like he set a floor for how low you can go. And he went there so that your low will never be as low as he went. And he went that low for you. It was more than enough. More than enough for you and for me that he went that low so he could say, oh, there's nothing you've done. There's no scarcity thing going on in your life right now that I haven't experienced and I can't meet you there. I've been lower. And scripture says that God showed his love for us and that he loved us so much that while we were sinners, while we were still SHIT heads, he died for us. Amen? And this is what Paul, in Ephesians 3, this is what he talks about when he talks about the abundance and the more than enoughness of God. He says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ went low, the lowest he could go for you, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, even just a little kernel of faith. Paul goes on to say, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in this love and this enoughness, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the Father's love for you. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to overflowing to the measure of all the fullness of God. You guys, when Jesus is talking about more than enough and that all these things will be added to you, he knows what he's talking about. He's run the distance for you and for me. He says, oh, there's more. Keep coming back. You can't get it. You're never going to find enough on your own. Keep coming back to me. I have so much more. As you come to the communion table this morning, I invite our communion servers to come forward. As you come up, I invite you to come up with a posture of hands like this. And I want you to imagine in your hands, and perhaps hold it tightly at first, what are those worries? What are those things that you're clinging to? What are the messages of not enoughness, of scarcity that you're holding onto? And as you come forward to receive the bread and the cup, pictures and symbols and evidences of how low God went for you and how deep his love for you. And I want you to offer it to him. Open up your hands and say, Lord, here I am again. Help me to seek you first. I bring you my worries. I bring you my tools that are rusty. I bring it all to you. Help me to seek you first. Fill me with your enoughness. Let me pray for you, and then I invite you to come forward. The communion servers, if you could come on up. Lord, thank you that you know what we need. You know what we cling to when we're by ourselves. You know what we turn to in our scarcity and our fear and our not enoughness, when we're worried about what's going to happen to our families, to our kids, when we're worrying about the future. You know it all, Lord. And you invite us to come to you with it. And that you have more than enough for what we need. Thank you for what you did on the cross. We receive it. Receive your love today. In your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to come forward when you're ready to receive the bread and the cup, and the gluten-free is on this side. Would you stand with me? I wanted to point out a couple resources in your handout. There is that link to the live stream video that I just think is super fun. It could help you take a nap today. And there's also a link to something that I have found that helps me keep coming back, to keep seeking first his kingdom, and that's the Lectio 365 app. They have a morning devotional, a midday devotional, and an evening. And sometimes I listen to it most mornings, often in the evenings, and it's just a way for me to keep, to reorient my heart and my mind back to who God is. And so if that's a resource that could be helpful for you, that information's in the bulletin. And I've also included the passage, Ephesians 3. Part of it I just read. I'm going to read the rest of it right now to you. I would encourage you this week over the next few weeks to spend time in these words in Ephesians 3 and talk to God about, Lord, I don't agree with you here. Help me understand. Help me see how you are more than enough for me. And just keep bringing it back to the Lord. And so I want to send you out with these words about our Lord, who loves you more than enough. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.